Ladies and gentlemen, welcome on in to the 40K segment of the Wide World of Wargaming. As per the usual, I am your host, Fitz Morgado. Joining me, Mr. Alexander Gonzalez.
Hello, everyone.
And standing in for Mr. Michael Schwartz, we have Paul McKelvey, one of the co-founders of BCP. Welcome back, sir.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Dr. Paul.
Paul is way too happy to fit on in this podcast.
Way too happy.
We have a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, and one of them is going to be Alex's pet project, a little rundown of units from the European Team Championships coming up in, what, 3 weeks?
Three or four.
Three, like August 7th?
Three. It's August 3rd? Then
And what we have in front of us is I think it's pretty much a comprehensive list of the exact number of each type of unit in all of the lists from all of the teams showing up. And it kind of, we want to use it to kind of give everyone an idea of what exactly the meta looks like right now. And one of the things that I just want to point this out and say, there has not been any kind of movement towards more light vehicles that we expected would happen.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just because, you know, this is cut off. I only have a portion of the post. I think, Alex, you have access to all of it. So if this is incorrect, please tell me. I see no Rhinos, no Chimeras, no Valkyries, Predators, no
no,
they're probably
– go ahead. There's a good number of them. I mean, you know,
there's nine repulsors.
The post does – there are nine repulsors. That is right. And we actually got to give credit where credit's due. A JP Ramsey had shared this out into the ether, and we did pick up on it. So, you know, good job on JP to meticulously go through every ETC list.
How long do you think that took him?
Oh, man, he better be getting paid. I'll say that.
He at least better be a volunteer for the event. I do want to correct one thing. I said there were four Valkyries. There are as many more Mortarions as there are Valkyries. The number is identical.
Yeah.
If that doesn't tell you that guard flyers suck, I don't know what does. And it's hilarious that the faction with the most, none of them are playable.
What do you mean none of them are playable?
Yeah, I mean...
The only flyers you really see from the Imperial Codex are like double or triple vulture that gets splashed into a Brood Brothers detachment.
Yeah, and those are annoying as hell. But I mean, like,
well,
I don't know, that's one of those things I think you could still make work if you really wanted to.
There are just better choices in guard, I think, is also probably the way to put it.
I'm just saying it's one of those things you could make work.
I mean, like, off the top of my head, you're not going to see anybody ever bringing any of the Forge World flyers. Like, you know, the Lightning, the Thunderbolt, the Avenger. The Valkyrie doesn't really do a lot.
I don't know what you're talking about. Arvis Lander is
thing,
OP.
Guys, you got to look at this in a different context. Is you're talking about the ETC. You're not talking about a singles event. You're talking about where maybe that oddball list like that, that guard flyer spam, can fill in where your Eldar player's actually playing a different type of Eldar, or is also playing Eldar flyers, and now you have that as two types of that list that can do the same thing, essentially.
That's also very – yeah, that is very true. You know, the ETC in general, and, you know, in our this week's AOS podcast, I mentioned this about the ATC also, because the ATC and the ETC are in the similar format regardless of what game system you're playing for it. I really love this system, and for our listeners out there, you know, I know Vince and Paul are well aware of how it works, but essentially there are teams of four, and each team has a team captain. Teams of five, my apologies, and each team has a captain. And, you know, the captains are all – the teams are paired up, and each captain, you know, either rolls off or Rochambeaus or flips a coin. We decide to see who is, you know, going first. And essentially whoever goes first in choosing an army list, they put an army list down. And and each one of your teammates, no one can have the same list or the same faction. So you can have, like, a Chaos Space Marine player, an Eldar player – a Tyranid player, and like a Sisters of Battle player. You know, that's just an example. So, you know, let's say you see an Imperial Knight list and it's just like four knights and that's it, and maybe a few Armigers. You go, okay, cool. Well, my Adeptus Sarita list with like a bunch of Melta is going to be perfect against it. It's going to chew away, and it's got like 100 girls in it. So, boom, I'm going to use that hard matchup for him right now. So, and then you guys switch off with lists, vice versa. So I think it's a really fun format. And Paul and I did that in the team tournament at LVO that was replaced by the Sunday RTT.
That's 3 years ago.
I think, what, like three, maybe four years ago. And I think we got second place on that, the Corsairs.
I've been advocating for
team tournaments
ever since.
It was really fun.
I wish they'd bring the team tournament back to LVO.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good addition.
I do too.
I mean, the RTT is cool and all, but
closest thing of reference I have for that is Team StarCraft. In that, putting together a squad like that, you probably have a certain player and bringing a certain, you know, specialist way of playing, or, you know, in this case, a list. And essentially you use him as a sniper for certain people. Like if you have one guy you bring just to assassinate Eldar flyer lists, would that be, you know, is that kind of similar?
That's 100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a really cool mechanic. And I do love that about events like this.
And your team captain's pairing is very important.
Everything probably. Call it 80%, because if he gives you a bad matchup, you're not fucked, but you're way behind.
But you can have prey lists too. They're going to be like armies you're going to throw forward to take on the hard hitting list the rest of your armies can't beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is also where spoiler armies come to shine. So, like, if you see it, like, and this is why events like this, you need to make them where there's, like, not a lot of preparation ahead of time, you know, or at least for, like, the team, like they don't really know what the opponent's lists are going to be, or it's going to be really important to do something where you have lists hidden. Like this is a perfect tournament where you would want to hide your team's lists, or the TO would, just so that it's like, okay, so if the game day comes about and every single person has like a pure Custodes army, an Eldar Flyer Spam army, like an all Imperial Knight army, and then like some other army, you know, let's call it a Dark Eldar, like Venom Spam army. Then, you know, if you see like four of the armies that are doing that because they're finding what the meta is, you get the one player who's like, cool, I'm going to do like one of my players is going to be Genestealer Cult, one of my players is going to be Demons, and like you just start throwing spoiler lists out there.
Yeah, if you really want to look at this though, I'm going to say this. If there is ever evidence that something is a problem in the game, 82 Crimson Hunter Exarchs, 23 Crimson Hunters, 58 Razor Wing Jet Fighters, and 12 Void Raven Bombers. I mean, I guess there's 57 broadside, or Riptides too, and 117 broadsides. But those are just unimaginative Tau players.
You know, well, also, let's point, I mean, we should be fair to Tau players that the rest of the Codex. No offense to you, Paul. You are the Daha master of Tau crisis suits. Most other people would not be able to make them competitive
that's
in
true.
This game. And I know that that's what you're working on. Whereas it's not, I'm not going to say it's easy to play Tau currently because they are a little bit behind the curve, but it's definitely harder than playing Crimson Hunter and
the
Dark Eldar Flyers.
Riptides and Broadsides. If you do that list, you're going to win 4 out of 5 games. And it's cool you're going to win 4 out of 5 games. You're probably a wreck face in 4 out of 5 games, but you're going to hate yourself for doing it the entire time. Your opponents are going to hate playing against it the entire time. And at the end of the day, there's going to be some army that's still going to waffle stomp you because you have no way of defending against it.
But isn't that Tau all over? Like, isn't that kind of the historical Tau downfall?
Most of the time, if I lost, it's because I messed something up. It's not because my list just didn't have the tools to do it. Like, I never went like, oh, well, I'm just completely helpless against this.
Not for you specifically, Paul, but just faction matchup.
I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm not on that side of the Tau curve most of the time.
We talked a little bit a while ago about how the game is moving kind of in a swarm direction as far as – or a horde direction. There's really only, what, two factions that are proving that correct, and that's Guard and Orcs. Because I'm I don't see anything along
there's
the lines of swarm cultists.
Angors,
like there's a quarter as many
– cultists.
I just mentioned orcs, but I mean, you know,
excuse me. Hold on. I hate to interrupt. Don't want to talk over anyone, but you are forgetting that there are, and I quote, 1,987 players.
Yeah. That's a lot of.
Okay, that's a lot of. That's a lot of players.
That's a lot. That's a whole lot of negative one to hit.
Yeah, but that I bet you. The Zangors and the Plague Bearers are together in a lot of those, too.
Oh, 100%.
I don't think you have the points for that.
You can do two squads of Plague Bearers and still get two squads of Zanglers in it, and then have buffing characters to go along with them.
I find it interesting that the number of Nurglings isn't listed on here.
I haven't seen a lot of Nurglings lately.
Maybe there aren't Nurglings. No, I will be honest. I also have not seen a lot of Nurglings lately.
Remember,
you're also talking about having... Well, not only is this a unique kind of tournament style with a unique type of matchup system, but you're also forgetting that this is also the glorious European meta for the most part.
That's true. It's not ITC, meaning that they don't actually care about playing tactical 40K, and the idea is just to board everybody.
Okay.
That's essentially the ETC, right?
Scoring packet is very different from the ITC, and it does tend towards annihilating your opponent. Doesn't every mission style essentially do that?
I mean, yeah, that is kind of the whole point of 40K. It's definitely not tiddlywinks. Like, we do pull out 2,000 points of expensive models to bash them against each other and find out who's die faster.
I do like that there's three Shadow Swords.
I will bet you any amount of money, it's the same army, all three.
Yeah, it probably is.
I will take anyone's bet on that it's the same guy running all three.
Yeah. Oh, you got knights? Not anymore.
He is going to run into somebody. His captain is sitting on that list in his back pocket, and the guy across from him is going to run four knights, and just – he's going to be like, oh, a guard list? I have this. No, son. No, you do not. Sir, this is a brick wall, and this is where you stop for the tournament.
I fought against that list.
Three Shadow Swords are interesting. I've played three Bane Blades once, and it hurt people, but that was in the template days. So I can only imagine what it does with random number of shots.
Yeah, I honestly don't know.
Alex, your list would not enjoy fighting three Shadow Swords.
Not my Knight list.
That one did it.
Your Necron list would not enjoy fighting three Shadow Swords.
Depends on my net. I've had one unit of destroyers, one 250 point unit.
Well, and
destroy a shadow sword in one round of shooting.
The shadow sword can't actually get hurt.
Let's talk about how hot your dice say to be.
No, honestly, they didn't have to be because reroll all failed hits and all failed wounds, and sixes created exploding hits.
I think the odds are very, very long. How many shots does each destroyer get again?
It was 15 shots.
Okay. And they do how many wounds each? Two?
D3.
Okay, D3, I can buy it. I, for some reason, thought they did two.
Granted, I also haven't brought destroyers in a...
Okay, I buy it a little bit more.
But also, your vehicle...
Forever.
What else jumps out to this to you guys? Besides the fact that Castellans literally fell off the face of the earth in one point adjustment. Like, there are more Gallants, more Wardens, more Renegade Knights, even though people technically haven't used them in any kind of real competitive event yet, than there are
Realistically, with ETC, those are probably not Chaos Knights. Those are probably Index Renegade. I doubt that they would allow... I don't know the cutoff for rules, but I don't think that those would be... would be there, especially without an FAQ. I really don't think a new codex that doesn't have an FAQ yet should be allowed. I don't agree with the these were locked a while ago. Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm very much against like a 30-day wait period for rules, especially with how easily leaks come out and how accurate those are now. But yeah, until an FAQ comes out, I usually would be like, let's give it a week, you know.
So based on what you guys are seeing here, if you had to guess let's call it the five most common lists. Paul, give me two. Alex, give me two. I'll try to come up with the last one.
Knights and, well, Demons and Eldar Flyers are the two most common.
You think both of those are more common than Guardsmen and, you know, Horde Orcs?
I mean, it'd be Horde Orcs and Knights would be the next bet for me. And there's probably a chunk of the Guardsmen. Well, I don't know. I was going to say a chunk of the Guardsmen were in with the Knight armies, but then I saw that there's 58 tank commanders too.
Yeah, but you are forgetting that 58 tank commanders does not mean that they're all IG. I highly doubt any of them would be Renegade, or, you know, the Renegades and Heretics, but I would not be surprised if a lot of those were also Gene Stealer calls.
And but you know what? There's only – I'm just guessing by the number of Patriarchs there are. It looks like there's only, what, 15 or 16 Gene Stealer cult lists?
I mean, out of 36 teams, that's almost half the teams have a Gene Stealer.
36 – well, yeah. You said you're not allowed to repeat lists, so – I do find, you know, I would just love to see, I wish they were broken down by Brood Brothers, or at least it says including Brood Brothers, like the listing for Guardsmen does.
Yeah, I agree. Having that type of, go on.
It would just let us know, you know, how many of these are real tank commanders and how many of these are Xenoscum. I'm hoping some of these guys brought heavy artillery orcs, because there's 200 smash-a-guns. Meaning somebody is going to get their day fucked up.
A couple of tractor cannons.
Tractor cannons for people who hate Eldar very, very much. That's probably your backpot, your spoiler squad, if I had to guess, is whoever is bringing five tractor cannons. Because that's not enough to blow over a whole list, and it's definitely not enough to be multiple lists, I don't think.
I agree with that.
I'm really excited to see just how this all turns out.
Is there, Alex, you brought this up when we were looking at it before the show. There's not as many Lord Discordants as we kind of thought there might be.
When I mentioned that, I actually was not trying to make that statement at all. I was actually trying to say that there was quite a few.
Really?
You know, Lord Discordants, I mean, they're not a super expensive hero, but they are, HQ, but they are kind of pricey enough at 180, and, you know, you can only have three of them. And I doubt that every single person, especially, again, Glorious European, I don't think that every single one is going to be the three-man list with that. So having 34 Lord Discordants among 36 teams, I would say over half of them have a list with at least one Lord Discordant in it.
And then somehow there's apparently three different people bringing triple Doom sides.
There's nine. That's three different individual lists, all individually. Yeah.
There's no way that's anything else but 3x3.
Yeah. But here's
the you don't splash a Doom Scythe.
I do find that it's funny that there was a surprising number of Doomsday arcs. There were 23 Doomsday arcs.
No, there's no Tesseract vaults listed on this. That's interesting.
Is there a Tesseract vault in here?
I've seen people with Tesseract vaults doing pretty well in tournaments recently.
That's fine. And then the moment they go up against like a Magnus or Materian list, that guy's like, ha, death hex. One turn of combat. Bye-bye.
Yeah, but I mean, it's one of those things you can take a gamble on, you know, as far as...
It's very true. Especially with the fact that the Sreptech heavy construct exists completely invalidates the vault, because all the Satan powers are so wonky, they're so swingy, and they just... Like, at that point, just bring a pylon because it's cheaper and it will always auto-kill a knight. Or bring the Sreptech because that will also auto-kill a knight.
That thing's awesome looking, too.
Yeah, I'm still building mine. It's taken a while. I'm doing a marbling technique. It looks cool. But actually, it's not that I'm working on it anymore. I was working on it and then the Chaos Knight Codex came out. And now I'm like, plastic bag. Guess I'm working on this project now.
Alex is 100% the meme of that guy walking next to his girlfriend and turning over his shoulder.
Ooh, don't tell Jamie that.
Yeah, no, it's the right over the girl looking up at him, it says Necrons, and then the one walking past has says Chaos Knights.
You're not entirely wrong.
No, I'm not. And that's why I said it. So I just want to, you know, guess on a couple of things here. Number one, there's not going to be too many Tyranid players. That's not a stretch, but we have it here in front of us. There just aren't. Between the two best HQs, which are Swarm Lords and Flyrants, there are only 18, which is less than there are total shield captains for Custodes. There are probably not going to be too many people running regular Marines, which have been seeing a little bit of a Do you think these lists got in before people like Thomas Oakey and Ben Neal started doing really well with a lot of jump pack Marines?
Well, we know that the cutoff date was sometime a few weeks ago, but I'm pretty sure the cutoff time was about a month ago.
Wow, that's the law. They take list checking very seriously at the ATC, apparently.
They have to.
Any particular reason why they pay attention to it more than a lot of other events?
I don't know if it... is this a rhetorical question?
No, because isn't that one of the classic complaints? Like, well, we can't do list checks unless we have it, you know, a month and a half ahead, and then people can't change their list right before the event, and we're worried they won't show up, yeah. Right? Isn't that one of the old fallbacks?
That's essentially it.
Go on.
And their prize tournament has, you know, progressed to a point where they have enough people to say, look, fuck you, you're going to send your list in a month and a half ahead, and if you don't like it, go to somebody else's event. Oh, wait, there isn't going to be one, so you stay home.
Well, I mean, it's a pretty difficult tournament to organize and everything, too. I mean, there's a lot to go through making the ETC. So, I mean...
Right, and clearly the last thing they want to have to worry about is getting to table 8 and having to round 8 and having somebody have an illegal list.
Yeah, well, I think that there's enough time. Yeah, they avoid that by doing it the way they do it.
And it looks like it's going to work out well for them.
Well, I mean, it doesn't work for every tournament. Like, for local RTTs, having your tournament in a month and a half beforehand doesn't make sense. But, like, you know, like, wait, we have a monthly RTT. Like, oh, I'm going to be playing
this. I want your list in literally at the end of the next event. You get 5 minutes. Yeah. Go.
But, I mean, like, for big events like LBO and stuff like that, I mean, I'm not saying I have some insight on stuff, but, like, it might be, you know, more important to submit lists here pretty soon. So...
Let's go ahead and move on to America's answer to the ETC, which is the American Team Championships, or as I like to call it, the old boys club gathering. As we're getting back on track, we do want to congratulate the team Wobbly Gentlemen, which is Nick Rose's team, I believe I noticed, on coming in first by actually a fairly close margin. They were separated from second place by just, if I count this correctly, that is 56 overall team points. That is not a lot over that many games.
No, that's really not.
Yeah.
Third place. Wow. You got to feel bad for Team Quality Control having only being 17 points behind despite losing a full game more. That means they absolutely murked somebody. So I have Team Wobbly Gentlemen here in front of us, made up of Stephen Four, Nicholas Rose, Kelsey Hall, Haley, Brad Chester, and Austin Wingfield running Gene Steeler Colt, Orcs Guard, Alaytok Eldar, which... Let me go ahead and settle a bet. Let's find out how many. Well, we found out where most of the fire spinners are. 3 fire spinners, 3 knights, 3 fire prisms, 3 night spinners, 4 wave serpents, and 3 crimson hunter exarchs, and that's literally the list.
Wait, you had a bet?
Settle a bet. It's a figure of speech. Come on, man.
Okay. You know, we bet a lot. I didn't know if you had a separate bet.
We do. I still haven't gotten paid on one of them, Jeremy.
Ooh, yeah. He's not going to listen to this.
No, he's not. Then we've got Nick Rose running classic orcs in that there are 90 – sorry, that's not correct. 100 and – holy God. 30, 60, 90, 110, 140, 170, 200, 230, 260 grots.
Wow.
Hey, I got to tell you guys something. I am getting a kick out of these names. I'm super surprised that Weebhammer69K had no tau players in it. Whatsoever, just big FYI. Weapons of mass intoxication.
Weapons of mass intoxication. That's a pretty good one.
Mm-hmm. The thick boys. This reminds me. There was a the Golden Throne GT. I want to say it like, oh my god, almost.
That's a eight, name we haven't heard in a while.
Or yet. Like 10 years ago. You know, our good friend and confidant Reese Robbins. He, him and the Frontline Gaming guys. They were killing it with, like, there was like a Team Zero comp team, but then there was a second team that consisted of other Team Zero comp members, and they didn't know what to call themselves because there couldn't be 2 Team Zero comps, and I don't think they wanted to be, you know, number 2 and the number 1. So the second team was Father Reese and the Supple Young Boys.
I remember you mentioning this.
Yeah, and I remember they actually won it. So, like, the TO, he looks down at the winner. He looks down at his result sheet, and he's like, I really don't want to say the name. don't make me say it.
I think if I was gonna if I was gonna just go out of line on a really messed up ATC team name, it would be Ray Rice's legal team.
Oof.
I'm surprised that joke.
Supremely Savage Sloths.
I'm so sorry, what?
The Supremely Savage Sloths.
I think Surprisingly Savage Sloths would do better.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's what's one of the teams that's actually ATC. Smite Club.
Smite Club, yep. That's a good one. Team not last place.
Where did they end up?
Team Zero Comp. Hopefully not last place.
It is interesting how many people brought that full frontal nerdity. Shut it down. It's over. I'm sorry. Full frontal nerdity wins.
Well, no. Needlessly Malicious wins.
Oh, God. Of course, 40K shit-talking tactics sent a team to ATC. Thank you. Thank you, whoever that was, for carrying the flag. Okay, we have to find out who was on that team.
You got to scroll down.
It's going to be somewhere in the middle and impossible to find.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, it is. At least it's alphabetically sorted, so it won't take long.
Oh, no. Best team name is Brohammer. 0 point plasma pistols.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, my God.
Dude.
I wonder if one day ATC names will just devolve into passive aggressive shots at other players at the tournament.
Hey, there was a two-person team, the Best Coast Bearings team. No, Best Coast. I see Casey and I see Casey. Ben on their own team.
What?
Paul's
just like ambivalent and just like, oh, okay.
So they went and didn't invite me. Okay.
No, I was running Yu-Gi-Oh.
Oh yeah.
Where you ran into the smell rule.
Did you summon Pot of Greed?
No, you know what I gotta say this is that out of all the groups I've interacted with so far, I'd heard that the Yu-Gi-Oh players were the worst. But after actually spending the weekend with Yu-Gi-Oh players, they were some of the coolest people I've come across in the gaming community.
Yeah.
So I got my little piece on that.
Okay.
It was a really cool group. I had to go out and see them again the weekend after next. So going out to help with another one of those. But getting my GT in the meantime.
Yeah.
So did I get my 40K life going?
Yeah. Vince, it sounds like you were about to say something.
No. I'm always about to say something, but for the moment, I held it back for better or for worse.
Ain't that the truth?
Exactly. You know, I'm learning slowly but surely. Fuck you, Paul. if you guys were to assemble your perfect ATC or ETC team, what list would you pick? Why? Whoever wants to go ahead, go first.
Oh, well, I already know exactly what I would do. I would...
Go ahead.
Want to run something that a good mix, you know, of course you do want, you know, in these type of events, a good captain is going to want to make sure that they have a player filling every role to make sure that you can have those good matchups. And honestly, I think that there should be one Horde army, right? In my instance, I would really try to get, a teammate to play something like, Orc Boys or, you know, the Jim Vessel or TJ Special and just bring like, you know, 60 to 90 Plague Bearers. That'll be one Horde army. The next one I would want to do is I would want to have one of my people play something that would be kind of a hard hitting or even spoiler type army. I would either want shooting heavy Dark Eldar army or bring out something like, the Jeff Robinson Custodes list, you know. I would then want a third player to, you know, bring something with a psychic heavy presence. You know, Eldar is just the perfect perfect option here. Just copy paste a good Eldar list. A fourth list, I would want something that is going to be, very mobile, very hyper mobile, specifically based around mobility. So probably something like Gene Stealer Cult, maybe mixed in with Guard, maybe mixed in with Tyranids. And then I think my third and final one, or fifth and final one, would just be something that is, kind of an ultimate spoiler list, something like a Knight Army or, you know, three Shadow Swords.
Hmm. So that's more like your anchor then.
Yeah, that's your anchor.
So what? Okay, so that's for ATC. ETC, you got three more.
ETC is seven player teams.
Eight player teams.
Oof. Well, I'm not going to do eight teams.
Okay. Well, here's what I would do, and this is because I'm crazy as hell. The first thing I would absolutely come out with a super heavy Arty guard list would be my bat. Would be my catch all. Just you run into everybody. Your job is to make a game close. You know, I would throw them at whoever, whatever list gave us the worst matchup for the majority of other lists. I would throw the guard player at it because that's what you do with artillery. You just hope that your dice roll better than the other guy. I would 100% see run loot a heavy orc list, like as many as you are legally allowed to run without, you know, saturating your stratagem points. I would not bring Eldar flyers because it's bitch assness, and you guys know how I feel about that.
But you wouldn't bring one of the most powerful armies?
No, I wouldn't. And you know that I wouldn't because I've never done it. Next, I would bring every other level of cheese, but not Eldar. That's just the way that is.
I respect that.
Remember, you're a team captain. You're not making the personal choice to do this.
Well, I mean, it depends on how much power you're giving the team captain has over the squad.
Absolutely.
Like, I'm assembling my what I would take to the ATC. What I would like to tell my guys, hey, practice these lists. These are what I think will give us the best matchups against the majority of the meta, including a Venom Heavy Dark Eldar or a Monster Mash Dark Eldar list. I mean, I want as many Taloses as you are allowed to fit on a table and then nothing but Venoms behind them.
Just obliterate
because
Horde Army?
I think that's probably yes. You will beat orcs with that. You will be guard with that. You will be gene stealer cult with that. That's three of probably the five or seven best armies you're going to run into. You've got a great matchup anytime you want it. Hmm. Assuming you don't just turn it into a mirror matchup and try to dice your way out. And then lastly, because Ben Neal's proven it worked, I would absolutely bring a super elite jump pack marine list because those armies, if they get their units into combat and they isolate properly, they just destroy people.
Hmm. Yeah.
The amount of attacks he gets out that he got out of a single Vanguard vet unit of like 12 guys. I think he said it was 45 chainsword attacks, hitting on twos, re-rolling hits and wounds. And that doesn't count the Thunder Hammers. You will just erase chunks of people's armies. Alex, I wish you had been there for that discussion with me and Schwartz. It was eye-opening in exactly how gruesome it can be to run into something like that.
Yeah, man. I listened to it. It kind of took me aback. I was like, oh, wow, okay, well, you know, you don't see this getting run, but, you know, you might now.
That's kind of why I'm disappointed at the ETC locked list so far ahead, because it would have been really nice to see something like that as a spoiler list instead of this where it's kind of, yeah, it was right after right around the Castellan nerf, so the meta was still kind of solved from right after LVO and right after the Jyn Vassal Reign of Terror and then the TJ Lanigan Reign of Terror. But this is what we have in front of us, so it's, you know, it's just different, and it kind of is leaving out a lot of cool possibilities.
Yeah, but this is always the way it goes in 40K. You know, there's always the popular lists and the less popular lists, and then people start putting them into tiers. And this isn't, of course, you know, exclusive to 40K. This is basically any war game, especially Games Workshop war games.
It's anything with a competitive meta.
Yeah.
It's anything
with
a competitive
meta. They go, oh, well, only this is competitive, or only that's competitive. And then, you know, you will still have the outliers, like that player in particular, who's just going to be like, okay, cool, I'm just going to bring a bunch of vets, and I'm going to wreck face. Does the internet say it's bad? Yes. Do players who usually run these type of lists they don't do too hot? Sure. But I'm a good player, and I have a list that works for me. And it's for that player, it's very much a finesse list. You know, he uses that. Sure, it might be like frail and a little brittle, but he uses it like a surgical knife.
Oh, you mean Don Houston ever?
Yeah.
But his army basically that he's ran.
Don Houston, the ultimate spoiler.
His army is terrifying.
Yes.
I feel my army's more kitted out than most to handle that kind of army, and I look at his list and still I'm like, ooh, that's slightly terrifying.
So as the practitioner, maybe the last practitioner of Crisis Heavy Suit, Heavy Crisis Suit Tau, tell us about what you're working on. How would you relate it to what you're seeing from the ATC and the ETC?
It's easy. The current meta is pushing towards high toughness, multiple model armies, like Dreadnoughts.
Yeah,
Dreadnoughts or Monsters or still Knights. Or, Custodes kind of fit in that same box too. And so I came up with the way I could spam six commanders again. So,
huh?
Yeah, that's fun, huh? So Cecia has been my sept of choice for quite some time. But
and what's so the special rule for that sept?
Each unit with Cecia gets to reroll one miss per turn. So I've been using XV9s with Fusion Cascades, who can carry four gun drones with them instead of just one, and throw a velocity tracker on them. And so it's two D3 Melta shots, deep striking, that hit on threes against flyers, and then reroll ones usually because you get one marker light off, and then reroll one miss. So they basically hit like commanders. And they have been putting in work.
And what do you run double battalion or do you run more specialized attachments? What's the breakdown?
So I had a battalion, and then I had a, what's the fast attack one? Outrider and one elite one. But yeah. I still have a Riptide. I have two Skyrays. I got two Remoras. I have a Cadre Fireblade. I have three squads of Firewares with marker lights. A drone squad of shield drones. And then a squad of Pathfinders with the recon drone, which the Pathfinders have been like, Pathfinders are money. I hope people understand how good Pathfinders are. They're actually really, really quite good. Especially in Cecia, especially with XV9s. Oh man, it's a dirty combo, but,
is it because you're able to reroll the marker light miss?
It makes the Pathfinders more awesome with their marker lights. Plus, they can scout, which is really useful, and their drones can scout. And the recon drone has two wounds, so for his points, he's really good. But then makes a big squad of drones. But then you take the grav inhibitor drone, and the grav inhibitor drone is if something charges within 12 inches, you subtract D3, right? And then XV9s, if you charge them, you subtract two from your charge distance. And then with the Cecia relic is minus D3 charge. So you can get...
Wow. You really are going all in on the I'm going to make you fail charges after I kill half the unit that's charging
me. That's a good way of putting it, yeah. And I just got a ton of gun drones because the XV9s are all dropping with four gun drones and then deep striking the Tau commanders along with them too. And the Seeker missiles are enough on the first turn along with the Pathfinders to nuke just obliterate one target. And and the XV9s come down and take out the rest.
Seems simple enough.
It's fun to play too.
I like it.
Because you're not just sitting back in your deployment zone, like moving Riptides every couple turns.
Ironically, that's a really tough matchup for me.
Is Riptide heavy Tau? Because they just shred you.
Well, it's because if I don't just... my whole thing's based around just nuking what I'm going after, and Riptides are, with drones, resilient enough to where if I don't just nuke them, they can do damage back, and it's, you know, it is kind of glass hammery at that point. But, I mean, I managed to take out another Tau player at the last tournament I was at with it. That tournament, I almost went undefeated. I lost one game because of time, and I've since switched to using a chess clock because of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a big change, huh? It took me getting frustrated because I had my opponent with two models left and me with half my army. And I was going to basically milk those two turns to get the points. And
wow. Well, I mean, you know, that happened. are you, you know, with the, you know, with, you know, competitive play always changing, especially with armies that, you know, aren't necessarily going to have any codexes or anything like that. Do you like Tau? Do you feel like you are going to be making any new changes to your list in the near future?
No, because I feel as of right now, this is the meta is still leaning towards that same type of build. And I think that having the way to X out those, you know, still kill the big guns. I mean, it's I'm building it to try and counter something like Don Husson's list, but as the end result, it can take on more. But I mean, like Eldar Flyers is still gonna be tough no matter what. You know, just I if I get the drop on them, I'm gonna knock a couple of them out. If they get the drop on me, I'm gonna get my stuff knocked out. It's just, you know, that's how it rolls.
Of course. You know, there was another event that we do want to address, though. And, you know, it was not the ATC, and it wasn't even in the United States. In fact, it was one that was in Canada. There was the Hog Towner 2019 GT that was in Toronto in Canada or Canada. You know, this one, I don't know if you were able to take a peek into it, Paul, but, you know, there were, you know, interesting things. It's the superior Canadian meta here. Were you able to take a look at the placings?
Yeah, I did. I'm just trying to get back into it right now.
Okay. You know, this was won by an Orc player, so this is reminiscent of, you know, Wet Coast being won by an Orc player, at least 2018 Wet Coast. Gotta love it. This Brent Moore Orcs with the team of Goodfellas, but it's like Gouda Fellas. You know, then we have Raven Guard, and we have Cadian Shock Troops as the other second and third here. This Orc list, you know, it's something that I was really thinking, you know, when we were talking about how you would make an ATC matchup. You know, I think that this type of Orc list is going to be really helpful. You know, it's got Storm Boys, it's got mobility, it's got mechs, you got some big guns, you got some Ludas. And you have a bunch of Grots for Grot Shields. But I just love the fact that, you know, you have the, you know, it's almost like Hero Hammer. You know, I think that a lot of these Orc lists that are a little bit more, less inclined around, say, straight, you know, let me bring 120 boys, I think it quickly becomes the Hero Hammer between mechs and, you know, the Index War Boss on a bike and, you know, a Pain Boy.
I love he's got Storm Boys in there. He's got Storm Boys in there.
Yeah, he's got quite a few Storm Boys in there.
It is kind of just a well-rounded overall list. I mean, it's nice to see something like that. I mean, just seeing a list that is just a well-rounded list take a placing like that. I feel all of these lists are a little, unique. I mean, Raven Guard number two and Cadians and three, you know, we got Nids. It's not the standard, standard scene we're seeing right now.
No, it truly is not. And even looking at that Raven's Guard list for our listeners out there, it is a Lucas Duchesne or Duquesne. You know, he's got the, brand spanking Gabriel Angelos of the Raven Guard. Or the Blood Ravens. My bad. He's got the Blood Ravens. You know what? Yeah. So he's got Blood Ravens with Gabriel Angelos. And then, actually, you know, the...
Which we will talk about a little bit
this
later.
This entire thing is wonky. There's Chaos Space Marines in there. That doesn't make sense. Selections, Chaos Space Marines, Primaris Librarian. Oh, that's Battlescribe for you, right? Yeah.
Well, you know what else he's bringing? He's bringing the Phobos Marines, isn't he? No. I'm sorry. These are the Primaris. No, these are the regular Primaris. I'm glad I caught that before you guys had to correct me.
Well, he's got a Thunderfire Cannon. That's not something you see every day.
No, but they've been popping up a little bit more just to give – basically what people use them for is to essentially cut
Relic,
Orc armies
Leviathan,
apart.
Dreadnought.
What you do is you hit people with the Tremor Shells, and it gives Marines a way to shoot over ITC boxes and just ignore, you know – hit targets that are out of line of sight, which is one of their biggest problems, is the way Ben described it to us.
Well, it's because the Relic Leviathan Dreadnought is a beast, and that's not
also
something that's
mentioned
new. That should have been
in that episode
that's
with
old
Ben.
News here, especially with two Storm Cannon arrays. Like, you know, when they were really hot, like 2 years ago, everyone was bringing the Grav Bombards, but quite frankly, the Storm Cannon just always, 9 times out of 10, appealed to me more than the Graf Bombards, just because of, you know, A, the range, and B, just like the sheer force of shots. And, you know, of course, that's all, you know, the cherry on top is the damage.
Gosh, man, I'm looking at the tank commander list. They, you know, I'm sitting here thinking back to the glory days of IG outflanking a Rust squadron.
Oh, this is beautiful. This is like
armored sentinels.
You know, they pop up. They do it just to have something a little tougher than normal in your as your required fast attack slot. But Pask, Creed, 3 tank commanders. This is a brigade. Wow. Do I have that right? Yeah. This is a full, this is a single brigade is this whole list. Wow. Not, you know, not a cheap brigade. Manticore, double basilisk. Oh my God. What a monster.
Armored sentinels as the fast attacks.
Yep. No regular sentinels. No rough riders. Nope. He coughed up 40 points for, you know, essentially a rhino with an autocannon on top. Without transport capacity.
At lower ballistic skill. With a lower save.
At lower ballistic skill. Without the machine spirit. Oh, man. I do love that they're all... that it's 3 battle cannons on the tank commander. And only one Gatling cannon.
And he doesn't have the mortars with his squads.
Nope, because fuck your Reaper. I'm playing it anyway.
Oh, and he's got pass. Wait, you can take 3 tank commanders and pass?
In a brigade, you can take, isn't it up to 6 HQs in a brigade?
I think he's asking about the rule of 3. A Pask is his own data sheet, so he is...
Yeah, Pask is his own data sheet.
That is rotten, dude.
3 wasn't bad enough. Here's 4.
No, it's not enough.
This one hits on a 2+.
Need to see an army of 7 Russes then. Pass.
I used to do it. I want you guys to look at Jan Jones's Highfleet Chronos.
Oh, nice segue.
If you were liking the other ones, you are gonna love this.
Man, that I'll wait. That deflection.
I will just let you get. No. You read this list and you tell me this wasn't worth the deflection.
Can you use a list as plot armor? That's what I feel just happened.
No. Read the list and tell me this is not worth the transition. Bro, he brought 6 Carnifexes.
Yeah, that's a lot of Carnifexes.
He brought 6 Carnifexes, 6 Hive Guard, a Tyrannifex, and a Malanthrope. This guy's a champ.
What is that called online? The distraction Carnifexes?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's if there's one of them, it's a distraction Carnifex. If there's 6 of them, it's called You're Going to Die.
Well, that just happens to be a lot of distractions.
The Tyrannifex marching up with the Carnifexes, the Hive Guard... that are just never going to die.
Yeah, Hive Guard are such pains in the ass.
Like, oh, this is just beautiful.
Especially in Boxhammer.
I think I know who the next person I'm inviting on the show is. Jan Jones from Cranky Gamers is 100% making an appearance on this very soon.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it works.
Anybody else from the Hogtowner stand out to you guys? I think Jan Jones is my personal hero from this event.
There's a Farsight player pretty far down the list. It's the first Tau player I've seen. That's kind of unique. Just lives in a territory where everyone just hates Tau.
Which territory is that? The entirety of 40K?
Yeah, it's pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, I do have a special meme folder for Tau memes.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of them.
Drew Bishop over on the X-Wing podcast is always asking me about why people hate Tau. And it's like, you can't, at times it's hard to explain why people hate Tau. And then you remember the bad old days of the Firebase cadre and Eldar. And you're like, oh yeah, that's why people hate Tau.
No, yeah. No, that's not fair. That's not fair. Don't judge us by the data sets we used to have. That's not fair. I mean, that's like saying, oh, you guys used to have Leaf Blower. No, you can't. No. Or like Necrons go back to like, oh, in 3rd edition, we were unstoppable.
No, we weren't. They were at their worst at third edition.
You were 100% wrong.
Third edition belonged to Chaos and Elders. Stop it.
And then at the very last like 2 months were just dominated by Grey Knights.
Necrons were almost unstoppable when they first came out.
That is a goddamn lie, and I will fucking fight you.
You can, but
when all of your good units didn't have the Necron rule, and when a third of your army that were weak as hell by comparison, once you were down to like a third of your army or 25% of your army, you automatically lost, and your opponent in a tournament setting got 100% wins. It even said in the codex, if the Necron player phased out, the opposing player gets a total win. Like it's every point they can earn.
You know how hard it was to make a Necron player phase out?
Not as hard as you'd think it was.
I played against it a bunch
of
times.
You're talking about it as though the resilience of the infantry is what was fuck shit. But let me tell you what was, to quote Vince, all bitch assness. It was the monolith and living metal.
Yes, it was. The monolith.
Oh my fucking god!
Monolith, you mean super hard to kill?
The only thing that I remember being able to kill monoliths was basilisks.
Railguns. Railguns kill monoliths pretty good.
Some of the and the demolisher slash vindicators.
Yeah, they were okay at it too.
That was it.
I just remember when I had my Chaos Army, I had a Defiler with, you know, in the Defilers, the good thing about them were that they had like way more attacks than a Dreadnought, but claws that were just as strong as a Dreadnought's Power Fist. And I remember charging a monolith and being like, sweet, I have like 6 attacks. I'm going to nuke this monolith. And like the monolith just like shrugged it off. And I was just like flabbergasted. I was like, what?
Chain fists were the other way to crack a monolith.
Yeah, they were.
Let's take a moment here to remember the Defiler is in fact still a playable model.
The ugliest model in the history of 40K.
It's not that it's the ugly model. I think people forget that it even exists.
Yeah, that's a problem. And it's because,
I mean, is it a problem though?
Nah, no, maybe not.
it's cool. I mean,
no, it's not. Yes, it's hideous.
No, I want to have a whole chaos-y construct machine army, and I think that goes along with part of it.
The Lord Discordant is all that you ever need. You do not need to bring that hideous mechanical crab meme onto the
crab
table.
Crab meme.
Now I feel like making a Lord Discordant riding on a Defiler just for you.
Ooh, I like that. Thank you.
What's he going to do? Hold it by the beak?
It doesn't have a beak. Are you talking about?
Doesn't it have a beak?
No, I think
the Defiler?
Demon.
Yeah, doesn't it? It has like a corn head with a beak on it.
No, it can. It was like one of the first models to have a bunch of different things you could switch out on.
Right. Okay. So you can't. Yeah, I knew I wasn't full of shit.
Well, it's got like, I mean, at the top of it, but its face is basically a battle cannon. It looks like
its chest was a battle cannon.
The chest is a battle cannon. The face is also like kind of a bigger bloodletter. It's like if you cut a bloodthirster in half and slap the top of it on a mechanical fucking crab.
Yeah. Remember, the head
you're
was just like
a human one. You're thinking of a soul grinder, dude.
Yeah, you're thinking of a soul grinder.
Oh, okay, my bad.
Yeah, that thing has a beak.
Beak-ish.
It absolutely has a beak.
Yeah, no, those
I have never liked those models, and I never.
That one doesn't. That one was just like they were trying to go like, "Hey, demons and chaos are the same army." Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. Look, these kits kind of work together, huh? Back when demons, you had to choose half your army and deep strike it.
Yep.
Well, no, I mean, people still played soul grinders up into like 6th and a little bit of 7th.
You saw soul grinders far more than you ever saw defilers.
Yeah, because defilers had, I think weren't they a lower armor value with no invul save because they weren't a demon?
You know, I couldn't even tell you because I've seen
of them either. I think they were. I honestly think they were like supposed to be the chaos answer to dreadnoughts, but they were so shitty that nobody ever brought
chaos
them.
Always had dreadnoughts. There's always been chaos dreadnoughts,
right? But they were terrible.
Dreadnoughts.
No, marine dreadnoughts were a lot better than chaos dreadnoughts because space marine dreadnoughts didn't shoot their own side if you rolled poorly.
Yeah, but that's why you always brought the close combat one. So if it was if it did do fire frenzy, it would be like, oh shit! Now I'm fire frenzying with my storm bolter. And then the close combat version thing where you rolled like a six and it became Blood Rage instead of Fire Frenzy, you charged the closest enemy unit and you had like extra attacks. So of course you always did dual close combat weapon.
Yeah, that's if you brought it.
Yeah, but if you didn't bring it, you'd be dumb.
No, because nobody brought them because they were awful.
Mm. Well, I mean, because Lash Princes were the thing.
Correct answer.
Oh, yeah, I deserve...
Demon Princes forever have always been the superior choice.
For the record, between, you know, as salty as I get about shit sometimes with 40K, the karmic balance is that I should suffer it between... The Lich Star and the Lash Prince spam that I had in fifth, I kind of deserve everything that I get.
Did you have Lash Princes?
And the Traitor Guard.
Excuse me?
I didn't know you had Lash Princes.
Oh,
Alex absolutely played double Lash Prince.
It was before you knew me. I'm sorry.
Well, I'm glad that was before I knew you. Let's just put it like that. Because we would not have been friends. I would be like, were you that jerk? Were you that guy?
The only Chaos Cheese I think Alex has never played was Corn Hounds.
Was that ever really cheese?
It wasn't cheese.
It was good.
Okay, fine. You know what he never played? Screamer Star. That's the cheese Alex never played.
Oh, no. I stopped playing. I really realistically stopped playing real Chaos before 6th edition.
The first Brawl in the Fall I won, my final game was against the Screamer Star.
Yeah,
that is still
my proudest moment was beating a Screamer Star with my armored company and actually having people go, "How the fuck did you do that?"
Oh, the glory days!
Because it should never have happened. That was probably my finest moment of 40K besides Kamikaze.
Yeah,
only because I found out that if you make somebody re-roll ones on their saves, you take away the Zeech re-roll.
Vince, I want you to forever hold on to that Kamikaze win. Don't ever forget that moment.
You know, man.
Some people wait a lifetime.
Win Rookie of the Year and flame out, aka Bobby Crosby. That was me.
I know. I've always held the belief that Vince will be a contender one day again. And you know, you keep proving me wrong, but I believe.
One day we'll come back around to nothing but tanks being a legitimate strategy.
It's getting there. I think it would work. That's what I was just saying. I think the current meta is tough, high toughness, multiple model is the way to go.
Yeah, but they all have invul saves, and I don't. Yeah,
I mean, but here's the thing. The Custodes tanks will get nerfed, right? And the Lord Discordant for, I don't know, I think he's cool, but I've heard enough shit talking about him. He'll probably get nerfed too. So, like, Russes will be good. Yay!
I just need Beast Hunter shells back and my return will be complete.
Don't focus on the Forge World shit. I just found out today that you could play a 7 Russ army and make it feasible because you could have 3 tank commanders and Pask. Well, I'm sitting over here going, how come I can't have 3 commanders in Shadow Sun, huh?
How come I can't play 6 commanders?
Yo, man, internet rage in 40K is real.
Yeah, I think 40K invented internet rage.
You know what?
I wouldn't disagree.
40K and the Something Awful forums.
You know what? You're probably right on that too.
when it comes to my meme history, I may not be a professor, but I am a very gifted student.
I mean,
Vince, meme historian.
Hey, look up everyone. I want everyone who has it to go look up a guy named Internet Historian on YouTube. Completely shameless plug that he did not ask for because we don't exist to him. That's a great channel. Everyone should go listen.
Well, I mean, you can't be a meme historian if you don't know about such classics as the Badger Dance or Charlie the Unicorn.
Or the Dancing Baby.
Oh, the Dancing Baby was started all.
Oh, Dancing Baby is OG. That's OG shit.
I mean...
But on the note of OG shit, we've now run over our hour time limit, and I know Paul has kids and wants to go to bed. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. Paul, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me on, guys.
Alex, let's go ahead and sign off.
All right, everyone have a good night.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
I mean... I won't talk to him next week.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all the time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.